From WYPR, I'm Sheila Kast. We're on the record. Drivers know all too well the frustration of clogged roads. Experts at the University of Maryland's CAT Lab, the Center for Advanced Transportation Technology, are diving into the why, so deep into the data about traffic that about half the states turn to them for tools to manage congestion. CAT's director Michael Pack says they can not only pinpoint the worst bottlenecks, but ID what caused them, how long the backups are, and how much they cost. I-270 is one of the worst.
And we can go in and actually calculate that for about a year's worth of time, Maryland drivers are experiencing nearly $100 million in user delay.
And we hear from the Baltimore Metropolitan Council's congestion experts on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Kast. We're On the Record. When you're stuck in traffic, especially if you get caught in this same bottleneck morning after morning, it can feel like no one cares, no one's paying attention. But a few dozen analysts, coders, and other nerds who make up the CAT Lab, the Center for Advanced Transportation Technology at the University of Maryland Clark School of Engineering, are paying obsessive attention. Their mission is to use data to make it faster, cheaper, and safer for people in freight to get from point A to point B. Right now, Michael Pack, director of the CAT Lab at College Park, has invited us to see what goes on here. Thanks for the invitation.
Thanks for coming.
How do you describe what goes on at the CAT Lab?
Well, the CAT Lab, we collect billions upon billions of measurements from people moving around on the roadways in Maryland and around the country. And these measurements are coming from cell phones, GPS equipment, from sensors that are installed down the roadway, from police officers that are telling us where collisions are occurring. And we're taking all that information, putting it into very, very large databases, and then we're creating these really cool software applications that allow legislators, folks working at the Department of Transportation, to try to pinpoint where the worst, most expensive problems are on the roadway, and then they can use that information to better target where to spend their limited transportation funds to actually go out and fix those problems.
Let me pick up on the data piece of that. In particular, you mentioned cell phones. So you're getting data that comes from the cell phones that all of us carry around with us as we drive?
That's right. If you're using your cell phone or some sort of GPS equipment in your vehicle to navigate, there are companies that are collecting that information about how fast you're driving on the roadway, and they anonymize that data, which means they pull out your personal information, and then they share that information back with us that tells us on a particular stretch of roadway, the average speed is 50 miles per hour, or in the Baltimore region, 10 miles per hour. And we save that information for years and years and years, and we add that information to police crash reports, to weather reports. There's actually sensors out on the roadway that are telling us what the temperature is on the roadway right now, how much ice or snow is on the roadway. We collect all of that, and then we use it to figure out where the worst problems are.
So who is using this data? We've talked about Maryland.
Yeah, so we have users of our tools in every single state in the country. We do have a heavy number of users here in Maryland, so that would be the Maryland State Highway Administration. You also have metropolitan planning organizations. There's one in Baltimore. It's called the Baltimore Metropolitan Council, and they're trying to figure out where you should be investing in new development and road construction problems or road construction.
And it was Maryland's Transportation Department that originally invested in CAT. That was, what, 15 years ago?
Yeah, so back in 2002, the Maryland State Highway Administration decided that they wanted a place at the University of Maryland where students would be exposed to transportation data and intelligent transportation systems, with the hope that once they graduated, they'd be able to go on to be more productive members of society, contributing back to transportation, hopefully working for the Maryland State Highway Administration and other transportation consultants in the region. As they saw us start to build these tools, they started to invest more in us. And then we found other states were excited about what Maryland was doing, and they invested in us as well. And we even have private companies that are starting to invest in us and pay for access to these tools and this data and some of the analysis that we do.
And you can do all this really very quickly. Show me how you do it.
Yeah, so it's pretty easy. We got a website that our Departments of Transportation users can log into. And once they get to the website, all they do is they select a geography they want to study. So in Maryland, we can go and we can choose the state of Maryland. And then we can choose a set of roads we want to choose. So I'm going to look at all the interstates in Maryland. And I'm going to choose a date range. So let's go back and look at the month of November through, you know, mid-December. And I choose that date range and I hit submit. And it takes about a minute. It's going out and looking at billions and billions of measurements, and then out pops a list of the worst congested locations in Maryland, accompanied with other graphics and charts that explain why this location is congested and how bad it really is. So, for example, we're looking at a map right now that's telling us that for the month of November through mid-December, the worst congested location in Maryland starts around the I-270 spur on the Capitol Beltway down in the D.C. region, and it extends down into Virginia. And that particular location, the queue backs up usually about 4.5 miles. The congestion lasts 2 hours and 41 minutes on average every single day. And for the last month and a half, this location has been congested for a total of 4 days, 17 hours, and 22 minutes. And there have been 234 collisions or disabled vehicles or construction zones that have impacted this region in some way. But we can take this a step further. We can now click another button, and it'll actually calculate how expensive that congestion is. I-270 is one of the top 10 worst congested locations in Maryland, both in the northbound and the southbound direction. And we can go in and actually calculate that for about a year's worth of time, Maryland drivers are experiencing nearly $100 million in user delay.
Just on I-270?
Just on I-270, yes. Congestion is expensive. And this is just people's time. This doesn't account for pollution, emissions that are coming out of people's vehicles when they're stuck in traffic and the engine is idling. It also doesn't account for lost productivity or goods that are damaged during collisions.
That's Michael Pack, director of the CAT Lab, the Center for Advanced Transportation Technology at the University of Maryland College Park. This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about tools CAT supplies to Maryland and other states to use data to reduce congestion. So how do you figure out the cost of it?
Well, so we all value our time, right? But you and I driving on the roadway probably value our time differently than a UPS or a FedEx driver. So if you're late to pick up your child at daycare, that costs you money. If you're late to a meeting, that costs you money. But then you also just value your time in general, right? So if we know that the speed on the roadway is supposed to be 65 miles per hour, it might normally take you an hour to get to a particular location. But today, the speed has dropped to 30 miles per hour. Now it's going to take you 2 hours to get to that same location. You've now lost an hour of your time, and that has an economic and societal impact. So there are some really smart economists that have determined what the average value of time is for people in the state of Maryland and for commercial vehicle operators. And we just sum up all of that lost productivity for all the roads, and we can tell you how expensive it is.
You said you've got users in every state. Every state transportation department taps into your tools?
Well, not every state DOT is using us, but we have researchers and planners and some of the universities around the country that are using it. I'd say the departments of transportation, we have maybe about 20 different departments of transportation.
And how do they query the data most often?
Some states use this just to figure out where they should be investing their dollars this year. And they want to invest their money based on where the worst congestion, the worst safety issues are, not based on where the politicians are saying they want problems solved. The other is, if you've just spent, say, $100 million trying to solve a particular congestion problem on a roadway, you want to know if that $100 million was spent wisely or not. So you can use our tools to go back and calculate the congestion and the cost of that congestion before the construction happened, and then you can calculate the congestion and the cost of that congestion after you finish the construction project. And our tools will tell you if you had a positive impact, a negative impact, or you just push the problem down the road a little bit.
The level of detail that you can drill down into is mind-blowing. Which public safety agencies responded to a traffic incident, how long the fire trucks blocked the lanes, how many miles of backup resulted, what the cost was, as you said. But how does knowing all that actually solve congestion?
Well, you can't solve a problem that you don't know exists. So our tools help to show you where the problems are, and then they give you causality. They help you to understand what's contributing to the cause of the congestion. About 50% of all the congestion that's on the roadway is due to some non-recurring incident. So a construction project causes congestion usually. So do collisions. So does bad weather. So do potholes that are out on the roadway. All of that contributes to congestion, and our tools help the agencies understand why bad things are happening on the roadway so they can then address the true cause.
I'm going to quote you to yourself, a promotional video about the CAT lab. You said the pressing problems you were set up in 2002 to address, congestion and safety, are still about the same. So this amazing analysis of data, what's it really accomplishing? Is it just helping us keep things from getting worse?
Yeah, absolutely. There's more people driving today than there have been in the past. And the region's growing, and as more people move into the region, as more development occurs here, you've just got more people driving on the roadway. And so, yes, we have to continue to keep the traffic at bay and manage the roads that we have. That's another big issue, is that we can't keep building our way out of congestion. There's only so much money for building roads. There's only so much space. We don't want to relocate people just to build a bigger road. We can't stack roads up on top of one another. So we have to start managing traffic, managing the roads that we have better. And that means responding to collisions more quickly, reducing the occurrence of collisions, reducing the impacts of winter weather, and just better managing the road.
Let me pick up on that, because in that same video, you said, quote, "We want to build the roads smarter, not bigger. We do that with information technology, software solutions," close quote. The traffic relief plan that Governor Hogan unveiled in September is all about bigger roads, more lanes for the Capitol Beltway, for Interstate 270, the Baltimore-Washington Parkway. So is your premier customer, your first investor, the Maryland Department of Transportation, not on your wavelength?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think that the projects that you quoted are getting more press than the operations projects because they are higher dollar projects. It's pretty easy to go out and cut a ribbon in front of a new construction project. It's kind of depressing to go cut a ribbon in front of a computer for software. But Maryland is investing heavily in transportation operations and intelligent transportation systems. Just up the road from us, there's the Maryland Statewide Operations Center, where you have individual sitting in a room, monitoring traffic, coordinating with the police, the fire departments, hazmat officials. They even have responders of their own. You've probably seen them driving around. Orange tow trucks owned by the State Highway Administration. They're out on the roadway assisting motorists, pushing vehicles off the roadway, keeping people safe. All of that is traffic operations, intelligent transportation systems, and that's really what's helping to keep traffic moving in the state of Maryland.
I really appreciate your talking to us about it. Thank you.
Thanks for your interest.
Michael Pack directs the CAT Lab, the Center for Advanced Transportation Technology at the University of Maryland College Park. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Quick break now. When we're back, what's the picture for drivers in Maryland? Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking this morning about clogged roads, wasted hours, imperiled safety, and other costs of congestion. Governor Hogan this week announced the state would spend almost $500 million on road projects to reduce congestion in the Baltimore region. We're focusing on how big data can help find solutions to crowded roads. We heard from the director of the University of Maryland Center for Advanced Transportation Technology, and now I'm joined by the congestion management experts from the Baltimore Metropolitan Council, which works with elected officials in the region to come up with solutions to a range of problems. Transportation bottlenecks is one of them. Victor Henry is Manager of Travel Analysis at the Baltimore Metropolitan Council. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Sheila.
And Ed Stiltz is a transportation planner at BMC. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
Victor Henry, what is the simplest way of describing how BMC uses data to solve transportation problems?
Well, as part of our long-range transportation plan, we use INRIX data, which is cell phone probe data.
INRIX is a company that collects it. It's a private company.
That's correct. We use several other types of data, like travel surveys and traffic count information, to analyze and prioritize a list of projects that we get from all local jurisdictions and state highway administration, et cetera. So we prioritize these projects and present that information to decision makers so that they can make the decisions as they see fit.
How is this data different than it was a few years ago, the data that you can work with?
Well, before 2008, we would send drivers out there. We would hire drivers to actually literally go out on the road and 4,000 miles each half of a year, and I would have to crunch the numbers and do stuff and geographic information.
Wait, so wait a minute. You skipped a step. The drivers are out on the road doing what?
They were out on the road collecting global positioning system data. They were out there collecting speeds during the 7 to 9 a.m. hour and the 4 to 6 p.m. hour, and it was very, very time-consuming. But the data was great. But now that we work with the University of Maryland CAT Lab and the I-95 Corridor Coalition, this stuff is at our fingertips now because of probe data through cell phones and fleet management and that kind of thing. We analyze the data more than we have to crunch it now.
These days, people are really focused, many of our listeners are really focused on holiday travel. So that data you're describing, does that give you a picture of what we can expect right now in this holiday?
Certainly does. For Christmas, and Christmas is not as big a thing as Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving's always on a Thursday. So you know that Wednesday is the worst travel day of the year, and Tuesday's becoming just as bad as Wednesday where that holiday is concerned.
For Thanksgiving.
Correct. But now for Christmas, it's a little bit more spread out. It seems like people take a lot of time off between Christmas holidays and New Year's. So there's not as much of a major impact, but I will say that between 3 and 6 p.m. is
going to
be the worst.
This afternoon, Thursday.
It's going to be the worst. But it's still not even all that. It's nothing like Thanksgiving. And with a lot of these other holidays, for example, the summer holidays, we analyze a lot about travel going to the Maryland Eastern Shore and the beaches. What people forget sometimes is that they stagger their travel to get there, but they all leave at the end of the holiday, and the crunch is at the end of the holiday.
And you don't see that as much over the Christmas, New Year's week? It's not like everybody comes back?
And there could always be something. There could always be some non-recurring congestion, some incident that happens on the road that could change things, or some weather event or something like that. But, you know, in general, yeah, that's true.
That's Ed Stilts, transportation planner at the Baltimore Metropolitan Council, a regional planning organization. Here on The Record on WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is Victor Henry, manager of travel analysis. I'm assuming a lot of what the BMC does is a much longer planning horizon than the Christmas, sure, New Year's break. So, Ed Stilts, tell me how the kind of detailed data analysis you get from the CAT Lab shapes the long-term questions you can answer.
Well, the CAT Lab, and that's the Center for Advanced Transportation Technology at the University of Maryland. I also would mention the I-95 Corridor Coalition. They help provide us this data. INRIX, along with two other service providers, HEAR Data and TomTom, I would not want to leave them out. We're able to look at stuff very quickly, very easily, and we provide a quarterly congestion analysis report, which we generally report as the top 10 bottlenecks in the Baltimore region. And with the Baltimore region, I also want to say that some bottlenecks, some congested corridors come in from the D.C. region. Maryland 295 is always a bad one, and that bleeds in from Washington, D.C. In our region, the Beltway is generally the hot spot, and it's the west side of the Beltway, morning and afternoon towards I-70 and U.S. 40, and the top of the Beltway around Towson are generally the two hot spots. They're not always number one, number two. They flip-flop in the top 10. That's why we report it each quarter to find out what's going on. But it's never a surprise to us. We know where the problems are.
And does a bottleneck ever go away on its own? I mean, I realize some bottlenecks are caused by construction. The construction gets wrapped up. That bottleneck may go away. But is there an ebb and flow in people's driving patterns if you don't insert some kind of capital improvement, some kind of infrastructure change?
It's hard to build out of congestion. I wouldn't tell you that any project wouldn't help. And I think Victor could tell us about our long-range plan and what we monitor.
Okay, let me do that. But let me just preface that by saying, as I mentioned, Victor, a few days ago, Governor Hogan announced the state will invest $461 million in the Baltimore Traffic Relief Plan. And the centerpiece of that is adding new lanes to 27 miles of the Baltimore Beltway and I-95. What does the Baltimore Metropolitan Council do with any of that? What is your role?
Well, I'll tell you what. As Ed said, the data that we analyze is showing a lot of congestion along that stretch of the Beltway. And we do have a Beltway widening project in our long-range transportation plan. And the governor's initiative is just moving that project forward.
So, Ed Stilts, as somebody who looks at all this data, you would expect to see a much different picture once these lanes get added?
I'm a data person. My job is to see what's going on now, what's going on after, and comparing.
One of the elements of the governor's plan, his staff described ramp improvements, putting sensors in the ramp as well as in the road.
Right. I mean, they use sensors to determine when to change the signal and allow people to enter onto the highway.
So this is going to feed, presumably going to feed better information to the signals to more directly respond.
Yeah,
to
it's information technology to improve the mobility.
As people who work in traffic, does what you know from all this data change the way you yourselves commute?
I know I use devices like, you know, my iPhone to navigate through traffic, and that's changed my life quite a bit for the better.
Ed?
I've lived in Baltimore since 1968. I've been driving since 1985, I guess. I know every alternate route possible. And knowing that a certain area is backed up, I know exactly where to go. And it's nice to know we have stuff like NRIX and Waze and Google Maps and the Probe Data Analytics site, that when I see something before I leave work at 5:30 in the afternoon, I know exactly what to do. It's not always going to be perfect, but at least I know let's not go a certain way.
Well, I appreciate your walking us through it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Victor Henry and Ed Stilts are the chief traffic congestion management experts at the Baltimore Metropolitan Council. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we'll link to the BMC's website where you can see the top 10 list of bottlenecks, as if you've managed to miss any. We'll also have a link to the I-95 Corridor Coalition's live traffic map. And we hope your holiday travel is smooth and uncongested. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for being with us this morning. Come back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.